You're listening to an episode of the Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life podcast with your host, Kim Olver.
This is Kim, and welcome to the 195th episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. If you like today's episode, be sure to leave me a review wherever you listen to your podcasts and share with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag me at Olver International. Today, we'll be shifting our conversation from mental freedom to leadership with Marcy Stern. I met Marcy several years ago when she did a coaching presentation to Professional Women's Network, an organization I belong to, and I was impressed with her, so I asked her to be a guest on this podcast. Over the past 30 years, Marcy has held leadership roles in learning, organizational development, and leadership development in the healthcare and insurance industries, and has experienced working for Fortune 100 private equity and nonprofit organizations. She has also been an entrepreneur leading her own professional development consulting company. In Marcy's first career as a hospital administrator, she led business development, strategic planning, and physician relations initiatives. Throughout her career, Marcy has worked comfortably across all levels of the organization. She has delivered hundreds of workshops and keynotes on a variety of business and leadership topics and remains most passionate about helping leaders build their emotional intelligence muscle. Incorporating all of her experience, Marcy blends her corporate coaching and leadership background to deliver programs that both connect with and engage the learner. She brings a warm and compassionate style, an ability to establish trust, and an action-oriented approach to facilitation. Participants often provide feedback that Marcy makes the session about them, and they walk away feeling motivated and ready to take action. Marcy studied health services administration, earning both a master's degree from Arizona State University and a bachelor's degree from the University of Arizona. She acquired the Registered Leadership Coaching Certification and is currently an emotional intelligence facilitator for the Institute for Health and Human Potential. Marcy is proud to add author to her bio, having published So Long, Inner Critic, Hello, Inner Champion, 25 Tips to Master Your Mindset in 2013. Her three pillars are positive attitude, deliberate actions, and personal accountability. Thank you so much for joining us today, Marcy.
Thank you, Kim. I'm excited to be with you today.
I'm excited too. I couldn't wait to have this conversation. Let's dive in and start with, what is your favorite definition of leadership?
Well, it's been a favorite of mine for many years. I read a book by Kevin Cashman, and his book was called Leadership from the Inside Out. And coming from a coaching perspective, I appreciated the title in and of itself. And he defined leadership in that book as authentic influence that creates value. There's something that just is so clear and succinct about that definition that it really stuck with me. That definition actually later evolved. I saw it somewhere in a blog. I don't recall where, but the updated version of that is leadership is courageous, authentic influence that creates enduring value.
I like those two additions, courageous and enduring. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really appreciate that definition as well, because I think it applies to everyone. It's not necessarily isolated to those who have direct reports in an organization or are leading people. But all of us have an opportunity to influence others for the greater good. And we all have an opportunity to contribute our own unique qualities and talents and experiences for a collective goal. And my coaching had always been focused on really allowing people to know and leverage those strengths that they have and that they bring so that they can have a positive impact in the areas of their lives that matter most.
Yeah, I like that too, because you're right. There are lots of leaders in the community, in business, that don't have the title of leader. And it comes from that courageous authenticity. So I agree with that. You have your finger on the pulse of leadership because that's who you are and what you do. What would you say are the current leadership trends?
It's interesting because from my perspective, what I read, what comes across my desk, what I hear in my own organization, it's really consistent. But there was one article that just came out and it was about leadership trends for 2024. It said it so well that we need to double down on human connection. I love that. I think it speaks volumes to where our leaders need to be putting their energy and their time. That's a pretty broad statement, doubling down on human connection. What I continue to see, to read, to experience is the importance of building trust. It sounds so foundational to leadership, but it's a very timely leadership skill. And I think that's a result of a few things. One is the shift from the pandemic, working from home, to now working in either a hybrid environment or maybe a fully remote environment. There's just this increased pressure on productivity and results because if I can't see you, then I don't know if you are producing your results. Or there's that fear and that sense from workers that their leaders may not trust them. I've also seen trust start to weave into conversations about AI and the impact that AI will have on the workplace or specific jobs, and people feeling maybe a little nervous or uncomfortable about where AI is going, how that's going to impact their job, or even how the company itself will be using AI. I see trust overlapping with some of those concerns. I don't think I need to remind anybody or any of your listeners about the current global and political unrest and uncertainty that we all experience every day. And so having that leader that exhibits trust and empathy, I think is really critical for making that human connection and allowing people to feel connected to each other, to their work, and that will indeed result in higher levels of productivity.
Yeah, I think so too. One of the basic needs of choice theory that you know I study is, Glasser called it love and belonging. I call it connection. And when we don't have the connections that we need, then that's such a gaping hole in our lives that that's the only thing that we can think about. Having secure connections with people that we trust, that we respect, really helps be able to keep your head in the game at work. Otherwise, you're not thinking about work. You're thinking about how lonely you are or how you don't trust this person.
That's right.
Have you read Stephen Covey's book about the speed of trust?
Honestly, I've probably quoted from it, but I do have his latest book, Trust and Inspire, which is probably some of the same but updated concepts. But I am a big fan of Stephen Covey.
Yeah, I haven't read the new book, but I definitely read the old book and I thought it was pretty important work and made a lot of sense. Also, the political climate, how do you see that as affecting leaders? Because I agree the political climate is pretty darn toxic, no matter what side you're on. How does that affect people in leadership?
Yeah, that's a great question. The other thing that I've seen in leadership trends is that there was this huge commitment around DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'm also seeing that some organizations are backing away. And that overall, I think, is going to impact this political environment in which we're trying to work, because that's diversity from all perspectives. And politics is certainly one way in which we are diverse. People are just feeling like they want to bring their full authentic selves to work. It goes back to having that foundation of trust. Leaders who trust themselves and trust that they know how to have courageous conversations will be more effective in demonstrating empathy and being open to, curious about how their direct reports and their staff are feeling, and couch it in that other trendy phrase of psychological safety. That's a big part of trust. If people are feeling uncertain, if they're feeling uneasy, they want to have the relationship with their leader to say, I'm off today a little bit. I'm just not fully balanced. I'm not bringing my best self. I'm really concerned about something that I heard on the news. And leaders need to feel confident in their own capabilities and trusting that they can just be present with that and not have to solve it. Just to be a good listener and create that safe space that allows their teams to share that level of concern. That's where it can show up. I know there are leaders who have come to me and said, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So they almost over-index. I mean, they care, but I don't know if they feel as confident and as competent in how to handle some of that uncertainty that their employees may be experiencing.
That's interesting, because there could be some training done around that, which could help people have those difficult conversations. And those two words in your leadership definition, courageous authenticity, is really the way to go about it. Even if you say, I want to have this conversation with you, but I'm afraid I may say the wrong thing. That sets the stage to get some grace from the other person. You don't have to stay afraid and paralyzed. You say Absolutely. What you're afraid of, and you do it anyway. That's interesting.
I agree. Absolutely.
What do you think are the things that are challenging leaders these days?
We just covered one of those things. That was a great question.
I think so too.
Great part of our conversation. Thank you for raising that. I would say something that I have heard more in the last couple of years has been about demonstrating empathy and accountability simultaneously. It's almost as if leaders see them as exclusive. How do I do one and the other at the same time? It's almost an either or in their mindset. And I say it's a yes and. It's very much related to the ability to build that trusting relationship. Because if that's the foundation and your team knows that you want them to be successful personally, professionally, then they're in a better place to demonstrate, and the employee is in a better place to receive that sense of empathy, and we still have work to do. Maybe we've moved from complete remote to hybrid work or back in the office. That might create some challenges for elder care or child care responsibilities at home. Recognizing that we have this monthly or quarterly goal, or you're working on this project, how can it be a yes and conversation? You can still demonstrate empathy and hold people accountable. I find it interesting that there is this almost a pushback, like I can't do both. I have to pick one or the other. You had read in my bio that I'm certified in emotional intelligence, and there is plenty of research to support the notion that our best leaders aren't necessarily the ones that are the smartest or have the highest IQ or even are exceptionally skilled in their functional or technical areas of expertise. But the best leaders are differentiated by their emotional intelligence. That is something that I continue to see as a challenge for leaders as they try to balance this empathy and accountability. I'm also certified in a program, a workshop called Facilitative Leadership. And there's this wonderful module in that workshop where it's results, process, relationships, and they show this triangle and they talk about how it needs to be a balance, and that success for most organizations tend to focus on the results. Therein lies that focus on accountability. I need to hold them accountable to the results. But then there's the relationship side, and then there's the process side. And all three are really important. So we could achieve a result. We could leave some dead bodies behind us, or we could achieve the result, but we didn't collaborate. It was one person doing all of the work. So maybe the process wasn't really efficient, despite the fact that we still managed to achieve the result. Leaders have that challenge around not seeing the balance of all three, We all have natural tendencies and preferences to lean towards one or the other, but stepping back and saying, how can I lead from all dimensions of success and make sure that people feel valued and respected, that we are including the right people, and that we are achieving the goals and results? I would say those are just a couple of things that have crossed my desk.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of challenge for leaders. When I think about the workshops that I've done on leadership, I like to ask people to think of their favorite teacher from however long ago that was. And was your teacher the one that always held you accountable, but that you didn't think liked you or didn't care about you? Or was the teacher someone who cared about you, but never pushed you to do any better? The answer is always your favorite teacher is the one that exhibited both of those things at certain points in time in the relationship. You knew that they cared about you. You knew they wanted the best for you. You had respect for them and they for you. And they pushed and they challenged you to do more than you even thought that you could. If we could remember those teachers, it would be easier to remember how to do both of those things simultaneously.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy because we all had those teachers in our lives and hopefully we've had leaders in our lives. I know I've had leaders who have seen more in me than I believed in myself. We need those people to kind of push and challenge us. And then we know that they truly care about our success. And sometimes I see leaders being so challenged by the KPI or the goal or the metric. And they're worried about investing the time to develop that relationship and build that trust. But ROI on building the trust is definitely there. I just heard this morning, I ride a Peloton bike and the instructor said something about, and of course, when you're doing that kind of physical activity, there's lots of metrics and numbers on the bike that you pay attention to. And she said, what if the new metric that we focused on is possibility? And at first I thought, oh, that's so cheesy. And then I've been thinking about it all day today. That's where those teachers that you talked about or the leaders that really push and challenge, it's not about the actual number or the goal. It's what's possible. And here's what I believe in you. And together, I think we can make this work. So that's just been on my brain today as I continue to really marinate in that comment.
That might be a second book coming, Focus on the Possible. Who knows? Marcy, you've been a leader for a long time. I wonder if you have a leadership lesson that you'd be willing to share with us. I'm sure you have many, but could you pick one?
I do. There are mistakes I have made, absolutely. I'm not quite sure why this one really stands out most, and it wasn't even in an organization with a direct report. I have two boys, and when they were much younger, and we have a nanny, and it was with the nannies. I had to have a working relationship with her and a personal relationship with her. And so the lesson I learned is never take for granted a star performer. Mm. What I have seen, and of course, this happened in my own personal life, is you have those star performers that you don't need to spend a lot of time with because they know what they're doing. You trust them completely. You don't need to review their work and you just let them go. They're people. I'm going to come back to that article that talked about the human connection. They are still people that still want to know that they are seen and valued and respected. What happened with this nanny is she had an elderly dog who continued to have an illness and she was needing to take time to take the dog to the vet. This is going back probably 15 years ago, so I don't remember exactly, but I do recall trying to be flexible. And there probably was one day where I said, well, I really need you for this period of time. And she ended up quitting and saying she didn't feel that I was empathetic enough or respectful enough. And it totally blew me away. I was completely caught off guard. I could have rationalized, I could have defended my behavior, but I really took stock. that's what those exceptional leaders do. When they get feedback, they do something with it. They don't rationalize it. They don't defend the actions, but they really take it in and say, how did I contribute to this? Even if there was a miscommunication, there's two people in that relationship, in that communication. So that really stood out for me, especially now where there's such a competitive talent marketplace that we need to pay attention to even our star performers.
Yeah. Pay attention, appreciate, show gratitude. All of those things that help people know that they're important and they're part of the big picture in a major way.
Yes, yes.
I like that. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time together, so I wonder if you have anything you might like to add that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
I feel very complete in our conversation.
Wonderful. And I know that in your bio, I mentioned a book, and it's so funny to me that the title had 25 tips to master your mindset in 2013, because I would be willing to bet that it's still relevant in 2024. Can you tell us more about your book?
Thank you for asking. The book is available on Amazon. And you're right, it was written and published in 2013, but still very relevant. I actually will, from time to time, go back and take my own advice. The inner critic was very loud in my life, and I learned through my coaching that that was true for just about everybody. So I wanted to create something that was more bite-sized and very practical tips. That was the genesis of the book, and I hope that it continues to be a useful resource for people who are not just leaders out in the organization, but leading yourself. As Kevin Cashman's book so succinctly titled, Leadership from the Inside Out. So we need to start with ourselves.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? So if people want to get in touch with you, Marcy, maybe they want to bring you in for a training or they want you for a coach, how could they get a hold of you?
They are welcome to visit my website. It is marcystern.com.
Terrific. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us today, Marcy. It has been a great conversation.
Thank you for the invitation, Kim. I've enjoyed our conversation as well.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and remember to leave a review and share with your connections on social media. I also hope you'll join me next week when we'll be continuing the conversation on leadership with Mary Meduna Gross. I'm looking forward to it. Talk with you then.
This has been another thought-provoking episode of Life Equals Choices, Choices Equal Life. To listen to past episodes, please visit our website at lifeequalschoices.com or listen wherever you download your podcast. And don't forget, remember to subscribe.